Hey, these are exciting times that we're living in, and I'm hoping that you're excited about being in God's house today. We looked at the heavenly hallelujahs. We looked at that last week. We only got into verse 6 and chapter 19. There's just so much to say. Remember that what happened was that the Babylonian system had fallen. In other words, the commerce, there was the political as well as the religious system, which we see happening today, okay, all around us. The prince and power of the air rules. God has allowed this to happen. Remember, he was conquered on the cross. Thank God Jesus took his own life. He allowed his life to surpass, and it was given for the sacrifice for our sins. With his death, burial, and resurrection, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the devil knows this, that his time is short. So there's a lot of hallelujahs there going on in heaven here because the time is coming to pass. And, of course, as we looked at last week, the Lord could come back at any time. We looked at last a week before last, but Matthew chapter 24 is talking about the tribulation period, and I gave many reasons why. But, you know, we're looking forward to the rapture to take place. And then what happens there is once the rapture takes place, we have the Bema Seat. We looked at that as well. And we looked in that portion there in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Number one, remember we looked at this was a bride's dress, okay? Remember, we are the bride, we are the church, and the groom is Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. And it says here, he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. So we have our salvation, we have the robe of righteousness. We also looked at last week at the Bema Seat. So we're coming to that point where we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, we looked at here what it says, "For no other foundation can anyone say that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anybody builds on the foundation, which is gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw." We looked at, you know, where God has called us. God wants us to be faithful and true. And those things that were not faithful and true, they'll be burned up. But those are things that last will be like as silver and gold and precious stones. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And God's righteous fire will go through us, so to speak, through the history of our living, and look at those things that were done rightly, and if it were, they were burned up. If they went through, like Peter says, like when, you know, gold is refined, all those impurities come up, right? Remember that in 1 Peter. And that shaft will be taken off, and those things that are pure will remain. There's an author I was reading over this past week, or even a couple weeks ago, that he says, you know, so many people today, Christians, don't realize how important it is now to live for Christ, because there's all eternity, and you cannot change things once you're in eternity. Does that make sense? You cannot change things once you die. You change things now so that you will have the best eternity with Christ. And that is to give him glory and honor. That is to reflect God's glory and give him honor. And the crowns we'll look at here in a minute. There are five crowns. Remember, all those crowns, all the things that we have, will reflect and give glory to God. That's why it says in Revelation, they cast their crowns. The elders did. We talked about that too, how the church are those 24 elders. Okay? And so it's to give God glory. It's not about us. It's about what he has done. God graciously gives us these things. Today, God has given us gift of life, right? God has healed Olivia. God is taking care of Bird in the hospital. God is taking care of us traveling, going back and forth. You know, I was very thankful at the doctors. They gave me a great report about my heart. It says, nothing wrong with you. I thought, great. You know, it's nice to hear good news, but there's always things in the background or in the corner of the walls that come out every once in a while to remind you, take heed, be careful, take care of yourself, you know. So each one's work will become clear in a day. It will declare it in 1 Corinthians 3, because it will be revealed so by fire, and fire when it's tested, one's work will sort it is, and so on and so forth. It's better to say that we have been blessed by God, and God is taking good care of us. So, so what about, you know, we looked at the works, the bema seat of Christ, and I'm going to get to the marriage supper of the Lamb here in a minute. The five crowns that we get, the first one, because of time, I can't get into all the details about the crowns, but these are spiritual crowns. They're known as victor crowns. We came victorious because we finished the race. Remember, we are running the race. The royal crowns is referring to is when the crowns when Christ comes back on the white horse. We'll look at that too. Those are royal crowns, okay? We have the victor crowns, the five crowns here, two different types, okay, that will never perish or go away. They're spiritually speaking, okay? In a physical sense, we'll be casting them before the throne of God, and when we worship Him day and night forever, because it will be a glorious time, a love that we have never experienced beyond our own thinking and how the Holy Spirit has given us already, but a peace that passeth all understanding. It will be eternity like we have never even imagined, okay? Because we are here on this late great planet Earth. God gives us glimpses of glory. Yes, He does. He gives us a joy and a peace of passive all understanding, but it's beyond that. It's just the best that there ever was. So there's the incorruptible crown found in 1 Corinthians 9, our faithfulness. So we continue to be faithful. We'll get a crown for that. It also says in the Bible there, we looked at in Revelation, let no man take your crown from you, and let no person take your garments from you. Okay? The garments for the bride of Christ is two layers that I was talking about there. And so we have to remember that there was the salvation that we have, and then God's by grace, and then the other garment was what? His righteousness. Those precious stones of good, that gold and that silver that we have going through the fire. So there's the incorruptible crown, then there's the enduring trials, the crown of life, found in James chapter 1. Have you been faithful going through those? And I think many of us will get many of these crowns, okay? But remember, you got to think of eternity. A wise investor, what? When he has money, if he has the money, right? He'll invest that money. So his money's not sitting there, so it's making money. Does that make sense? As Christians, we should invest in the Lord Jesus Christ so we have dividends for eternity. Okay? So you know, God has called us each to different things. We cannot compare one another to each other. And then there's the preaching of the word. In this context here, I'm talking about the bema seat of Christ, and we're standing before the Lord. And that is the crown of glory, and that's for elders and pastors, those who have proclaimed in that context, 1 Peter chapter 5, been faithful, proclaiming the word of God in and out of season, and so on and so forth. Some people have said, even for the lay people, they have proclaimed the word of God. If God has called you to the ministry, you've been faithful proclaiming it, then, you know, God will bless you too. Then there's a soul-winning crown, the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. Part of salvation for everybody is by God's doing it, right? It's not by us. We're just being faithful and sharing the word. God does the work. And then actually, we have people praying here. We have people that are witnessing. Like I said, if you don't know what to say, at least hand out a tract. Give it out a tract or something. Or proclaim it some way, somewhere, somehow. And you just being faithful with what God has called you to. Again, we can't compare one another because we're all different parts of the body of Christ. We all function differently. We all do different things. And then, of course, there's the loving God's appearing, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. And we love his appearing when God has called us home. And so are we in love with the Lord? Yes, because he first loved us. So these crowns are there. Okay, I'm not going to go ahead and try to read into something that's not there. And so that is what's happening. So you have the rapture. While the tribulation period's going on, you have the rapture that takes place first, the tribulation period. The man of perdition appears. He's going to be like Christ. He's a great counterfeit. And then while the tribulation is going on down here, people can still get saved who are going to churches because of the word of God, but they're going to have to suffer a horrible thing. And then we have the Bema seat, which when we all get to heaven, right, our bodies are going to be changed. In other words, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those are not the Old Testament saints. When Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection, like it says in 1 Corinthians, he's the first person to resurrect. What it says in some of the Gospels, that he took those who were out of Hades and paradise, okay, Abraham's bosom, the Old Testament saints came with him. So they're already in heaven, okay? And then you have those who even walked amongst the street there in Jerusalem. People saw physical bodies, but they were spiritual bodies. They could recognize who these people were. Those are the Old Testament saints, and then the Lord went up into heaven. Okay, Acts 1:8, okay? After 40 days, right? So they saw Jesus for 40 days, 500 witnesses. Then that's what happens. So you have the Old Testament saints, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, they'll be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to what? Destruction. Okay? So they are raised up. Okay? So you have Jesus comes back for the rapture during the beginning, before the tribulation period. And therefore, he takes the church with him. So those who are dead in Christ will be raised first with their bodies, with their souls, with their spirits, okay? Like I said, a soul is a shadow of yourself, okay? My body was to drop down dead, then there would be me that would be moving out of it. The spirit, God breathes spirit into our lives, but that shadow of my soul is always functioning, okay? And then there'll be the uniting in heaven and in the air, okay, with the Lord, all right? So that takes some supernatural believing. Yes, it does, because the Holy Spirit gives us that unction, he tells us. And then, of course, we'll be together with the Lord. So we'll have even John the Baptist. He says, the bridegroom's friend. And I have the reference right here in John, when John the Baptist said that. He was all excited about that when he was baptizing, and they asked him who he was. So that's what's happening there. And so you have the saints of God in heaven. The ones that aren't there yet are the tribulation saints. They don't get united with their bodies until Revelation chapter 20. Okay? So this is all going on, and the hallelujahs are there in heaven. The Bema seat has already taken place. The bride has already prepared herself. Do you realize right now we are in that state here of engagement? And let me get into Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Okay, it says, "Let us be glad for the rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." In other words, the Bema seat has already happened. You've already been purified. Women, before they met their men back in the day, they would go through a period of purification. As long as the lady's father said it was okay. And so what would happen is that, okay, so today we are engaged to Christ. All right, so The Jewish bridegroom went to the bride's home and carried three things. Number one is a dowry, some money. We see here that it was already paid for on the cross, 1 Corinthians 6:20, and it's referring to a Jewish wedding here. But for Christians, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, and the bride, the church, has been bought with a price. A price was the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. So number one, the groom would come over to the bride-to-be's house, meet with the father, and it would pay a dowry. And number two, there would be a contract. 1 Corinthians 1:13 says, in whom also that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This seal is the Holy Spirit. So the contract was already sealed. I'm talking about the Church of Christ, okay? We are already engaged to meet the Lord in the air. At that time, the bema seat will happen, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb will happen during the tribulation time. And then we see here that there will also be a skin of wine, which was referring to a time of celebration. So that's why they drank there in celebration. You know, this is a wonderful thing. You're going to be marrying my daughter. Well, spiritually speaking, Christ is the groom. So, and then we see here that the bride was summoned by the father, and if a proposal was accepted, they went on from there. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, for I have espoused you to be one husband, that I may present to you chaste. That means a set apart. The church today should be set apart, a holy church, set apart for Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, are we set apart for Christ? Yes, we are, through the Holy Spirit. We're living it too, as a chaste virgin of Christ. So this all ties in with the Jewish wedding, how things are supposed to be in the Church of Christ. I don't want us to just skip over this, because it's so important that we live chaste lives, like that is being said. And we can only do it through the Holy Spirit's power, because we are sinners, and you know, but then God knows all things. And then, of course, there was the number two, the bridegroom left the bride's house, went to the father's house to prepare a place for his bride. John 14:2-3 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. Where I am, you may be also. So that's where Christ is right now, preparing a place for his bride, for the church. It's a wonderful thing, because we'll get into that later on about the New Jerusalem, how much land there will be, and so on and so forth, and, you know, the kingdom of God, and so on and so forth. We have such a tremendous salvation. It's time to get excited, you know. It's time to get to know that, you know what, we go with plans, we make plans, and so on and so forth. The summers go, the kids go back to school, and before you know it, same thing happens over and over again. But I look past that. I look way past that. I look at my salvation. I'm like, we got something fantastic here. You know, we have something wonderful. And so don't ever get stuck in a rut, if that makes sense. You know, get out of it and live your life to its fullest. So, and I thank God that we are here. And then, of course, it says here, when the wedding to be, the father and the bridegroom set the date, and no one knows of the date. Okay, and yet when Christ comes back, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, we don't know when Christ is going to come back. In Matthew 24, it says here, and it's talking about the tribulation period, it says, but that day and hour no man knows, not even angels in heaven, but my Father only. Yes, when he comes back, and we'll look at that in Revelation chapter 19 later on, when he comes back on a white horse, and we'll come back on horses too, dressed in white in his righteousness. We'll look at that in a few minutes here. And the bride was also in a constant state of readiness. That's why John says at the end of the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because as a bride, as the church, we're waiting for Christ to come back. Come back quickly. Of course, when you're in love with somebody, you want to come together and unite there in marriage. And spiritually speaking, that's what the church is all about. We're waiting. We're engaged right now to be married with Christ, heavenly, in a spiritual sense. So, with that being said, and then there, of course, there was that going on. So, getting here back in the book of Revelation, so you have the Bema Seat, you have now the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is going to be taking place. And it says here, let us be glad in verse 9, or let's say verse 9. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that word blessed is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. We have blessed is he who that readeth and hear these things in the book of Revelation. We have blessed are those who are dead who die in the Lord, Revelation 14. Blessed is those who watch and keep his garments. In other words, also says in Revelation chapter 16, be careful nobody takes your garments. It's talking about God's holy garments as a bride. That's what it's referring to, okay? So that you're not naked standing before Christ. Some people will be saved so by fire, right? I didn't have time to get in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But, you know, it's sad to see that. But I like to see the Lord say, thou well done, thy good and faithful servant. Isn't that great? That's what we're doing today, right? It's time to get excited about that. Faithful, even if you just struggle to make it to church, you're being faithful. And God knows how much you suffered this week and what tortures you've had to go through. And, you know, so we see, blessed are those who have been called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed or holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. Chapter 19, okay? And so we'll be part of that resurrection. We don't want to go through the second resurrection. What's that? That's talking about the great white throne. We have the first resurrection, okay? And who was that person who started all this? Jesus, with his resurrection. That's what we believe in today. Without the resurrection, my goodness, so many people today are blinded by the god of this world. So, and then of course, 2 more, blessed is he that keepeth the words of prophecy of this book. And also seeing that in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation 20. And blessed are they that wash their robes. In other words, again, it's talking about the bride's robes. Those robes that we need to keep them clean while we're here on earth. Because we are the bride of Christ. We are engaged to our Savior spiritually. So we need to keep clean and make sure nobody robs, one, our garments. So we're embarrassed and walk shamefully. And when Christ comes back, are we going to be ashamed? Or are we going to be in love with him? Say thank you. Or number two, no one take our crown from us. So we keep these things very close to us. I was out with Kimberly in the mall this past week, and my goodness, there were so many people around. You know who I was keeping an eye on? Kimberly, because I wanted to protect her and be with her, because a lot of people, you never know. It's the best time for somebody to steal a woman's purse. You know, they get busy, they start not paying attention. And every guy here knows what I'm talking about. You protect those of the weaker vessel. You're there for them. You would die for them. You would do whatever you can to protect that person. Okay, so Jesus did that, and that was a blessing for us, the church. So, says here, going on here, verse 10, then I fell at the feet to worship him, and he said to me, don't do that, I am your fellow servant. So just as well as angels, they serve, just as well as the body of Christ, we serve as well. And so we should never take away from the glory of God. Your brethren who has the testimony of Jesus Christ, worship God. It says twice in there. And it's important. So we know to worship God. Ephesians 5:19 says this. There's 3 different types of songs that we sing here and we worship. Psalms, it has the idea of songs representing songs taken directly from the scripture. The word psalms means to praise. Number 2, hymns. Songs based on scripture expounds with deeper insights the songs subjects. That's why we have the hymn books here today. Number three is spiritual songs that came from our hearts, our emotions. You know, the Holy Spirit drives us, moves us, and just does wonderful things. Let me encourage you today. You ever feel kind of down in the dumps? Take a hymnal with you. Start singing songs. There are people who sing when they drive in their cars, right? Or as people walk by you, talk to themselves. They have those earbuds. They're talking to themselves, laughing and talking. I'm like, wow, they're having a good day today, you know? Where are they going? And then, of course, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 sums this up, too. It says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and those His worshipers must worship Him in Spirit and truth. So it's wonderful. It's exciting that we're doing that every day within our hearts. We sing a melody. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. There is a song put out by John Newton. He wrote this. He was a slave trader. He was one of the ones that, you know, you've seen that movie, Amazing Grace. And he decided, you know what, I'm tired of this. And he pushed with the England Parliament. And he says, enough is enough. And we need to stop the slave trade. And he wrote Amazing Grace. But verse 5 says, well, we've all been there 10,000 years because time will be no more. He says, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So we will, you know, start now. We have, you know what, devil wants to keep us dormant. He wants to keep us quiet. He wants us to keep our mouths shut. Well, you know, even if the rocks could cry out, they would sing praises to God. So going on here in verse 9-10 here, it says, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is the prophecy. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says that to all things that he saw, blessed is he who hears from the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written, and the time is near. Remember, the men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. Remember, they had their personalities, and God spoke to them while they penned the words down, okay? And then you have Jesus Christ when John was taken up in the spirit, same word they use for rapture, just taken up. Okay, John was writing down the word of God through who? Who was it? Jesus Christ. That's why it says in your Bibles, the revelation of Jesus Christ in some of your Bibles. But it's wonderful. It's coming from the Lord our Savior. Amen. It's wonderful. He is the prophecy, the spirit of prophecy. So that being said, moving right along here, never helps to have too many notes with you. Okay. All right. Then moving along, verse 11. And now I saw heaven open. All right. And chapter 19, behold a white horse. These white horses was pictured as the idea of a conquering horse, a war horse. Back in the day, a person who would read this, a Jew or a Gentile, would understand that this was a war horse. It was as a conquering general would come in on a white stallion, would show that he is conqueror, he is king. Okay, the purity of that, the white back in the day, was that there were no problems. We had our enemies were under our thumbs, so to speak. Okay, and they used to bring the enemies behind them in chains and all. And so we have here the heaven open, behold the white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. Just the opposite of Satan, which is the father of lies. He's a trickster. There's no good in him. Jesus said with his disciples, there is no truth in him at all. Don't believe him. And so I feel sorry about people who get into the occult and people who play around with tarot cards and people that go to spiritual readers and all that. It, you know, they keep Christ out of it. They don't like Jesus Christ, obviously, because their demons that they work with shudder and they shun the Lord Jesus Christ because they know their time is short. And God is actually using everything in the long run for his honor and glory. He has a plan. He's going to get it done. Satan knows this, and he's doing everything he can. You wonder why you're having a rough week, why headaches are coming on, illness, sickness, because he wants you to get sidetracked from what God wants you to do. And then we go on here that, and he who sat on is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So he makes war because Jesus, in the book of Romans, it says here that revenge is mine. He's talking about what Paul is writing down through dictation of the Holy Spirit. That idea is that justice is mine. God will reward those people for their wrong, their dirty deeds, like it says in the book of Jude, that they have done. And they will reap what they sow. The other day I went out and saw this huge acorn tree, plop, an acorn comes falling down. I didn't think the sky was falling down. Some people do. But I picked up an acorn. I thought, how beautiful, a little acorn, how it can blossom into a huge tree. It gives us shade and very beautiful. And, you know, you can use acorns for different things. But the point is that, you know, God, you know, will take our little germinated seed that we have, our bodies, that is getting older, okay? And once we die, there's a beautiful plant that will spring up. I'm trying to tell you right now to encourage you, okay? You will have a beautiful body, and we'll look at that during the kingdom, you know, what kind of bodies we will have. It's beautiful. We'll be able to recognize each other. We'll be a paradise with God. But moving on here, so the revenge is his, and so... he makes war. Who's he making war with? He's making war with those who are making war down on earth. And we'll look at that in a minute. He says that his eyes were a flame of fire, which is referring to his righteousness and discerning in the hearts of men. He'll be able to see right through people. He does that today. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And so it says here that verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, his head were many crowns. Again, those are royal crowns. There are so many because he's sovereign. And he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has been through everything that you and I have been through. Let me tell you, my friends, he understands everything that we're going through. And then he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And, of course, that's an indescribable name. And, you know, people will see that. And then there will be also... Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So his name was dipped in blood. This came from the blood of the martyrs, the ones that had suffered through countless ages, people who died, people that we don't even know, people that are suffering right now in jails and people that are just being tormented. God knows all about that too. And he's called the Word of God because he is the Word of God. Thinking about what happened there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was the Word of God that knocked those soldiers over. And they came looking for Jesus, and here were his disciples. And he says, "Here am I." And it says in one of the Gospels that the guards fell over. His word was so powerful, it knocked over some of the men there. But that's just a small glimpse of the power that he will have. The armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And then that's going to be you and I, following behind him. Remember, he is doing the warfare for us. He's going out and executing what he is going to do. And he will annihilate his enemies during the time of Armageddon. And it will happen then. And so he will come out. And we looked at Revelation 16. And the armies will be gathered in Armageddon, which is a valley that even Napoleon said, other war strategists, this has got to be the best battlefield ever because of the geographics, how things are set up. And yet there'll be so much bloodshed that it says here in Revelation 14:20, it'll be 1,600 furlongs, which would be 600 miles of blood, okay, 4 feet deep. And each person has about 5.5 liters of blood in them. So you can imagine the slaughter. In other words, he's going to come out, he's going to speak the word, and it's going to destroy the enemies. The enemies will have no chance to fight back. And we'll see all that. We will see everything that goes on. And at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to come back and, again, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Nobody out there today is getting away with anything. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Life goes on, but God knows people's hearts. He's sovereign. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and he will strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. That has the idea of coming out in the kingdom. A rod of iron has the idea of a shepherd's staff. They had a crook. It's one shaped like this. Stem came down. That pulled the sheep in. He's pulling us in. Because some sheep go astray today. Some sheep stray from the shepherd. And then, of course, there's that rod that you have. And I learned this from Bible seminary. A guy went out there and talked to a shepherd. And he says, they tap him with a rod. Behave yourself. You get a spanking. So he's going to keep things, and we'll look at that in the next couple of weeks, the kingdom era. He'll put down rebellion because those from the tribulation period, those who get saved, okay, well, and those who make it through the tribulation period, they will birth babies into the kingdom age. And, of course, on the outside, people can always pretend that, oh, I'm good, I'm all right. But when the time comes, when Satan is released after 1,000 years, he's going to tempt people. And then we'll see the true colors of what people really are. Okay? And we'll look at how we're going to rule and reign with Christ. So he himself treads the winepress of fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on a robe of his thigh written his name. In other words, it's a sash that goes from his shoulder down to his thigh. And you'll have down there, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried up with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Quite a contrast with the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, these birds, they said that there's a large migration of birds that go through Israel from the northern part of Africa up on through the Middle East. These birds will have a great supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, of the captains, mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, the flesh of all people, both free and slave, both small and great. And by the way, in Revelation chapter 16, both the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, they will seduce people to this battle of Armageddon, which will be there. And so it won't be the East fighting the West. They will all gather because they, remember, Israel is being taken out. They have already fled at this time, okay, because of the Antichrist. It's made war halfway through the tribulation. There is so much going on. But let me encourage you today, we won't be there. We'll be coming back with Christ to rule and reign with him. So, verse 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war with him who sat on the horse against his army. Then the beast was captured. That means the Antichrist. That means the one who's pretending to be Jesus. Remember, he sits on the throne halfway through the tribulation period. He will be a man, okay? He'll be a wonderful in many different ways, but he is a counterfeit to Jesus Christ. Remember, God gives the dragon, Satan, power to give to both the beast and the false prophet, okay? Just as we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. the false prophet points to the beast. So they are captured with him, false prophet, and work signs in his presence and deceive those who receive the mark of the beast. We had already talked about the mark. And those who worshipped his image and those who were cast alive into the lake of fire and burning and brimstone. In other words, they will be the first ones to be cast into the lake of fire alive. And people during the white throne judgment, I know people don't want to hear it. They're like, I ain't ever coming back to that church. People will be alive when they are cast into the lake of fire. If their names are not written into the Lamb's Book of Life, say, how can a God do that? Well, you know what? He gave his very best, Jesus Christ. So I always face an argument with, look at Jesus. Now, he's done everything he can. Now, you don't want to hear what I have to say. You want to hear about Jesus. So what else can God do in eternity? The worst thing, one person says, you got to live with yourself, that you rejected God. And another person says, hell's a place where people even get more and more angry because, you know, they can't get what they want in life. And so it's a horrible place. Brimstone has the idea it's on forever and ever. Mary Baker Eddy said this. She goes, well, you know, it's limited. Hell is limited. No, the Bible always talks about it's forever and ever. And then the rest were killed with a sword that proceeded from the mouth of him. It meant the word of God is a sword, symbolic. Okay, they had different sides of swords in the Roman army. Some were up to 6 feet long, okay? And they would just ram into the enemy, okay? But, and he had the real short ones. But the point is that it's the word of God. It will slice right through the enemy. They won't have a chance to fire a shot. God's going to come back when, Matthew 24, when they least expect it. And so they figured, well, you know, I've destroyed, I've gotten rid of Israel. You know, they all fled to the mountains. And now we're all this and that. And, you know, we want to rule and reign here on earth. So, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So with saying all this, there's a lot here, you know. And next week, we're going to look at how Satan was bound. And then he's going to be let out. Why? Because God is using him for a purpose to reveal those people who were born through the tribulation period, just like people are today, find out if they're really who they are. And remember, the tribulation saints will be united with their bodies too. Okay, we'll see that in Revelation chapter 20 as well. Because they're before the throne too, and they're saying, Lord, how long, how long? And I don't have time, and I've gone over about 5 or 6 minutes. But there is so much here. What we need to be zeroed in on and focused today is eternity. Are we living for eternity? We're saved, right? Are we, number one, are we putting away treasures in heaven where moth and dust does not corrupt, okay? Because things are dying. Okay, and number two, are we wise investors in eternity? In other words, are we living to the Lord for the maximum amount by his grace and his mercy? I got it. We fail God all the time. I got that. When we get back up, we try again. We try again. And, you know, God knows our frailty. He knows that. Let me encourage you. He knows that. But yet, keep eternity in focus. That's where I'm trying to get at, okay? Because we have a bema seat of Christ. I want to have as many of his crowns as I can to give to God to worship him. You do too. And you want those silver, gold, precious stones, what, to reflect his glory. This is what God gave me, glory to him. I don't want to be standing there and be saved so by fire. And everything I did was wood, hay, and stubble just burned up. Okay? It's very simple. Even a 5-year-old could understand this, but today, a lot of Christians today, and I'm not criticizing people, this is called constructive criticism, are living like, okay, I'm saved, that's good enough for me, I can live in the world and do whatever I want. We got to get serious, and I know we are. Let me encourage you. I love you all. I'm not here to judge anybody. I love you all. I want the best for you. And let God work in you until he takes us home. He could be coming back today, you know. And so I'm just going to end it at this. I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. There's just so much. Eternity has so much for us. And we're excited because we want to keep our garments clean. And we thank you, Lord, for your salvation by grace, and also your righteousness. And that's where all the works come in that we've done for you, again, by grace and mercy. We're just faithful. You've given what you have. And then there's the crowns, Lord, that you've called us to, the being there to run the race, to run that race, and to know that there are victory crowns. All of them are victory crowns running the race. And you own the royal crowns. You are royalty. One day we'll be as priests. And what do priests do? They worship God continually, day and night, like they did in the temple. And you will have things for us to do. It will be such a glorious time. There will be no more sin. We just can't wait. And help us, forgive us, Lord, when we get so stuck on the here and now. Just thank you for babies and new life and all kinds of things you blessed us with. And those who are suffering, there are people here today, just be with them and help them at this time. Help us to live each day like it was Christmas. It is a gift. And we thank you so much for your mercy. Through Jesus' name we pray, amen.